Well, before I start here this morning, I just wanted to just make known a few of the things I never got to last week. I'm going to hurry quickly in case the Holy Ghost changes anything. I just want to announce a couple of books that are available at the back there. First of all, Ancient Paths is available at the book. I don't know how many copies we've got left unless you guys have some more available. We've restocked our stocks, so they're available. Can I encourage you, whether you read it now or in a year's time, get that book now, because Craig Hill, by the way, is the author of that book, is coming to speak, one of our guest speakers at Kingdom Festival. We actually have Deanne Charlton here, who's the convener of our Ancient Paths course, which completed last night over the last 3 days. We have another Ancient Paths course coming up in July. Can I encourage you, you need to book in for that. And the cost is, from memory, $50 to do the course. It's a Thursday night, Friday night, and then an all-day Saturday. It will unlock your lives. I've sat in on several sessions, read the book, listened to the audio book, and it's just an incredible course. You want to be involved in that. The second one is still by Craig Hills that I'm going to be speaking on this morning, God willing. The Power of a Parent's Blessing, that is available there. If you're a parent or a grandparent, I really encourage you to buy that book, The Power of a Parent's Blessing. You parents, I'd like to give both parents a copy for free. If we get a copy, Jan, if you could just remember that for those two parents to start off, The Power of a Parent's Blessing. There's an awesome book up there called Guys, Girls and God. And that is by a really powerful guy. That is about relationships. It actually says, for those who are serious about dedicating their relationships to God, the subject is discover God's truth about sex, intimacy, dating, virginity, courtship, engagement, and marriage. Anybody considering a relationship who wants to do it God's way, in the way of God, in a protective covering, you need to get that hold of that book there. That's $175. I'm only kidding. I don't know what price it is, $20. And then this book, which is not available up there, but I will be referring to it. I encourage you to go online and buy it. This is the book that we used as we were growing our family. This is by Dr. Ross Campbell, How to Really Love Your Child. This is a fantastic book. I can't stress it enough. Finally, the final book I'm going to announce today is a book that I wrote just recently. Jay and I have been trialing this every Friday night. I'll refer to it a little bit more today. Called Family Night, and how to set aside a night each week to come together with your family, dedicating it to the Lord, coming together for communion, coming together for parents' blessing, and then just having a wonderful meal together and games and whatever, just chat, talk, serious subjects, you know, whatever, and just having a family night that you dedicate to the Lord. Everything in there. My mother's custard recipes in there. If you want to know the best custard, you can find that in that book, okay? Flatbread, everything you need to have a great evening there. And that, I have no idea what that is that came up with me. Well, today we want to look at the Scriptures. We want to go straight to the Word of God. Praise the Lord. The Lord is here. He is moving, by the way, and He is speaking. And I just had Arthur come up and just speak to me and said the Word of the Lord was that the Lord is opening people's eyes and looking for a place where he'll be allowed to speak, which is a very strong and powerful word. My brother, thank you for bringing the word of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord. And we respect that. These are the days where the Holy Ghost is moving and he's just, we're preparing for the return of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is just saying that there are people being healed here. Can I just say that you're already being healed? Some people already been healed. If you've been healed at any time, from this point forward, if you've been healed, I'd like you to come and just stand somewhere over to one side and I'll just ask some of our pastors just to come over and just interview in terms of what's happened so we can just give glory to God. If you feel that God has healed your body, you know, test it out. I just feel the Lord saying that there's a person here being healed of a very severe headache, or you may have already been healed. I just sense the Lord saying that your head, there was great pain here. And the Lord's just released that. When you know that's you, would you just come and let's give glory to God as this is happening. And someone else has just has suffered terribly from hay fever. And the tingling in your nose is, you know, that's the evidence of it. Matt, can you just go and interview there? And the tingling in the nose, you'll just notice it's just subsided. You'll notice it. I don't have tingling in my nose, but I'm just saying what the Holy Spirit's telling me. and it will have subsided, and you'll know that's a difference, that's a change. Okay, so that's you just come out, and the Lord's just doing this. I just sense the Lord saying there's someone here with a stomach problem right up in here, top end of your stomach, and it's been a terrible problem for you. But you just notice there's a great peace come over your body. And just I'll say Pastor Bill or Shirley, just come and just interview these people, because the Holy Spirit's just doing this. I'm not doing anything. I haven't touched a soul here today, but the Lord's just moving. And that condition that's caused you so much problem, for some people it's not a problem, but for you is a major issue. The Lord's just touching you now and just healing your body. The Holy Ghost is just presence. His presence here. He just wants room to move. He just wants a bit of room to move. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And there's another person here that I sense the Lord saying, you just incredible fear has come upon your life from some incident that's happened. For you live a fearful existence. You live a fearful existence. But the Spirit of God was here. That was a demonic power that's been trying to dog you. But the Lord's dealing with that. Hasn't dealt with it just yet, but he is breaking that thing off you right now. Throughout the service, at the end of it, you will notice you have no fear. And that's, can I just ask for those testimonies, Bill? What's happened down here?
Jenny had pain in her head and a bad neck. She hadn't been able to turn for a long, long time. And just this morning, she's been able to turn her neck. But when you spoke about the pain in her head, it's gone.
The pain is gone. Isn't that fantastic? I need another microphone. Can someone get another microphone? I'm just going to pray for you, Jen. Isn't it awesome? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. We just praise you. We thank you. We're so grateful in the name of Jesus. People fall under the power of God. Don't be afraid. That's the Holy Spirit, you know. Isn't it wonderful when God heals? Matt, have we got a test me over there?
Dorothy Monksy had pain in, you had a word of knowledge, Pastor Greg, a couple months ago in terms of the lower back, especially the lower back region. Dorothy had pain there for 18 months, 2 years, received healing and then completely gone, walked under, been at a town centre for 4.5 hours the next day, no pain, no at all, and it's been a consistent thing. So thank you to the Lord.
Isn't that just the grace and wonder of God? For someone who's been in back pain to go and walk for 4.5 hours, that's testing it out, I'd say. Let me just pray. Isn't he wonderful? Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence upon your daughter here. In the name of Jesus, thank you for setting her free. We praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there's the presence of God's on you. Just stand there for a minute, Matt, because the presence of God there. Thank you, Lord. Is there someone else? Come. I'll continue to preach as the Holy Spirit's. If those that's you, you feel like you've been healed, you just come. And I think church has just changed. We're just doing it a little bit differently. If you feel, I feel the Lord saying, if you feel you want to bring out any, in the Bible, even Paul had aprons or handkerchiefs or garments or scarves or anything like that. There is such a healing presence of the Lord. If you want, just to put them out the front here, you feel free to just bring them out here. I'll just pray for them as we're going along throughout the service. If you want to put a handkerchief or, you know, I don't know what guys could put out there except a handkerchief, but, take your socks off if you feel that's really going to be helpful to someone. But you might want to take it back to them in hospital. We've seen many miracles of people healed because the power of God. There's no power in the handkerchief. It's just the anointing going back into those places. So if you would like, if we got another testimony there, Bill.
Yes. Nikki had bursitis in the hip.
Thanks for the microphone. Maybe we can turn it on as well.
Thanks.
There you go. Bill, it's all right. Nikki had bursitis in the hip. Pastor Greg prayed for him last week.
Oh, it was a couple of
weeks ago. He couldn't walk. It clicked, and you're set free of that right now in Jesus. That you've been totally healed.
Just guys to stand up behind these people because there's a very much a presence of the Lord. If there's some young guys that just feel good. Thanks, Bill. Just lay hands on her right now. The presence of the Lord is just here, all over you, all over you, all over you. Thank you, Lord. Is that worth a clap?
There it is.
I for her, I think that's
there it is.
The presence of God. Alrighty, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll pause when people come out. Oh, that's fine. I think we need to just give the Lord room and a voice to speak. Thank you, Prophet. Well, I want to talk about the ancient secret of the power of a parent's blessing. And this is one of the key subjects in our Ancient Paths course. I started to speak on it last week and got no further than about a minute. But in ancient days, the power of a parent's blessing was much more important than it seems to be today. As I said last week, we often just go around, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. But we looked at the scripture last week and we saw that Esau, someone like Esau, understood the power of a parent's blessing so much that when his brother Jacob dressed up, I mean, this is pretty serious stuff, dressed up, put goat's hair on his arms because Esau was more hairy than Jacob. Jacob wanted Esau's blessing. Esau, let me remind you, Esau was born as a twin to Jacob, but they were only minutes apart. But Esau was first and got the firstborn blessing. Double responsibility, double blessing. And Jacob saw an opportunity and purchased that blessing off him for a bowl of soup, basically. When Esau was vulnerable and came in from the field and was hungry. But later on, he wanted the blessing as well. Not only the birthright, but the blessing. And so he dressed up in this and brought in his favorite, Isaac, his father's favorite stew. Isaac obviously couldn't see too well because you would obviously see a guy that's decked up with goat's hair all over his arms. And Isaac called Esau, come close, my son, gave him a bit of a sniff. Yes, that's Esau's smell, but then Jacob had just put on Esau's jacket. The mother had cooked the meal that Isaac liked. So there was this deception going on, but all of this is to show us the importance or the value of the parents' blessing. In the end, Isaac decided, yes, this is my son, Esau, and he blessed him as if it were Esau. But it wasn't Esau, it was Jacob. Now, this should give us a bit of a hint. Esau came in a bit later. Jacob had snuck out the back door just as Esau had come in, and Esau wanted the blessing. Now, I want the blessing. Father, bless me. And he said, well, who are you? He said, I'm Esau. Well, who was that just before? I thought that was you, Esau. And he said, oh, that was my brother. He stole my blessing. And he said to his father, Father, is there nothing left for me? And the father said, well, I've already blessed him. I've made you his servant. Now, nowadays, we would think, of course there is. Of course there is. Yes, look, I can just bless you the same as I blessed him. But that's not what they understood, was it? Back in those days, they understood that when a father gave a blessing, it carried the weight of heaven. It carried power. It carried identity. It carried blessing, it carried destiny, it carried the purposes of God. And so, parents, I want to talk to you, and every one of us is either a parent or a child. I want to talk to you about the power of a parent's blessing. I'll say a couple of statements here that right at the beginning, God blessed Adam and Eve and said, be fruitful and multiply, go subdue the world. There was a blessing on Adam and Eve, the parent to the sons and daughters. The spoken blessing from parents to children was so important in equipping the next generation to fulfill their destiny, and it was understood that the words of blessing carried the weight and authority of heaven. Jesus himself did not begin his ministry until he was blessed by his Father, Heavenly Father. As he was being baptized, he came out of the water. The Holy Spirit came upon him in bodily form like a dove. And then a voice from heaven spoke from heaven and said, blessed, what did he say in Luke 3:22? You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. That was a parental blessing on the Lord Jesus. It was a witness to everybody standing around. It thundered, but it was a blessing on the Lord Jesus. At that point, he was then led by the Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted and was then tempted by the devil. But that was the beginning of his calling and his ministry. The parental blessing can unlock things that other things cannot. If you want to know more about the power of a blessing, speak to a man in our church named Yusak. Yusak, I don't know where you are, my brother, whether you are here. Could you just stand for a moment wherever you are? It's over there. If you would like to know the power, and one day we need to give him a few minutes. I say a few minutes because he can take an hour and a half to tell you this blessing. But the power of a parent's blessing. Your father, you sought his blessing, in short. You sought your father's blessing, even though you'd grown up in a Christian home, your father was a preacher, etc. But there had never been the blessing of the father, and you sought it at the age of 40. Tell me if I'm absolutely terribly wrong. 42. I was terribly wrong. And you came and sought his blessing. When he blessed you, that unlocked your life. Changed your life forever. Is that right? Changed the marriage. Changed everything. Changed the call of God. The father himself broke down and cried. Mended a relationship. Phenomenal story. It's incredible. Thank you, USAC. If you want to go and hear that story, go and hear it in full from USAC. And so I want to talk to you about, especially out of this book, The Power of a Parent's Blessing, the six critical stages of a child's life where a parent's blessing is critical. Let's just look at some of those areas. First of all, as Pastor Matt this morning was speaking from Psalm 139, he gave a bit of a secret there. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I already planned for your existence. I planned the gifts and talents upon your life. I planned it out. I already had all the days set before you as in a book. The great possibilities of God were written before him. You were expected. Don't think you were a mistake. You might be one of these children that thinks, or these people that think that as a child I wasn't wanted, I wasn't expected. You know, my parents didn't want me. They wanted a different sex. They wanted a boy instead of a girl, or a girl instead of a boy. Listen, can I just tell you that before your parents conceived you, before they even thought that you were on the way, your heavenly father already knew you. He wanted you. He knew what you would be. He'd already decided what talents and gifts and purpose that he had for your life, and he'd already programmed that and knit it all together. And then when you conceived, it was all placed in you. How does an acorn grow into a massive oak tree? All the DNA, all the genes, all the whatever in an... I don't know anything about seeds. Someone will have to tell me, but I'm using big words that sound good. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's extra special. But if you're an agronomist or a horticulturist, you probably say, he's speaking through the top of his head, but it sounds jolly good. All right. All the stuff was in the seed. When it was planted, it grew into the tree. God already had all the stuff for you before you even planted in your mother's womb. Okay, so you are special. But when we come to the power of a parent's blessing, listen to this. A message can be conceived in the heart of a child. It can be conveyed into a child that they are wanted and expected and they're blessed by the parents. When you know that you have conceived a child, there is a powerful opportunity for you to convey a message to that little child that they are wanted, they are welcome. That is the message that you convey to them, that they have a place in your family and will be a blessing to you, that they have a unique purpose and a unique destiny. If you're wanting a child, you need to convey that message to that child. They are a spirit. They have a body. They have a soul. But primarily they're a spirit that's open to the things of the voice, open to the power of God. Powerful parental blessing. If you've just found out you're conceived, start to speak over your baby. Start to speak life. Speak destiny. In the Bible, we found that most children were born inside a marriage covenant. That was made pretty sure by the fact that if you had relationships outside of the marriage covenant, there was a way that, you were stoned to death. It's sort of a fix-all, you know. Basically, if you were born, you're predominantly likely to have been born in a marriage covenant which brought a blessing. Nowadays, 50% of children are born outside of a marriage covenant. There's a problem there. That churches and pastors and ancient paths and, you know, we have to try and fix this sort of stuff up. But in the first place, a marriage was the covenant in which a child was born, and there was automatically a blessing on that because a marriage is blessed by God. Secondly, a Jewish girl wanted children. Nowadays, we put it off until we've got everything, yeah, careers and everything like that. But back in those days, a child was desired. Even at a young age, it was part of the culture. We want to have this child. So in those days, if a child was born, they were pretty well blessed. They were blessed in a marriage covenant and they were wanted. Nowadays, it happens outside of marriage 50% of the time and not necessarily wanted. Can I say, as men and women of God, we need to change that around a bit. Let's get married. Let's walk in the marriage covenant. Let's start by that and let that be a blessing on our children. But also, let's expect with great expectation and desire the birth of our children. And we here in this place, if a baby cries, yes, it can be annoying because God seems to put the loudest, most unavoidable sound inside the lungs of a baby. The only thing that I've ever heard that comes close is the sound of a baby goat or a goat being slain. There is some noise that comes out of that. I said, is that a baby crying? No, they're killing a goat. But a baby has that impact. It's like, what on earth is that? That's why we have an absolute soundproof nursery at the back there for your benefit and our benefit because of that sound. So make sure you speak blessing over your child at conception and pregnancy. The second time is throughout that journey of pregnancy, you want to start to bless your child, start to welcome it into the world. The question that's going to be answered in a child's heart is, am I safe? Do I belong here? Can you imagine it? As we said before, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I'll praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So you can send a message to your child that they are protected and nurtured, and you can start to speak that acceptance over them even throughout the whole pregnancy. 9 months of speaking that out. When we come together on a Friday night for family night and Tash and Kyle are there, I speak a blessing over every one of my family. I start with my wife, Jay, and I look her in the eyes and I tell her that she's blessed and how much she means to me. Then I turn to my sons, if there are more than guys there, and I speak the blessing over them. And then I turn to my daughters, and Tash is there, and there's usually some other young ladies there. I speak to them as my daughters and bless them from the Word of God. They're all scripturally based. Then I turn to my mum, I say, Mum, and she always says, that's me. And I tell her how blessed I am to have her as a mother. And God chose her to have me and how I was such an awesome child all the way through. I just remind her of how good I was, and she, you know, does this. She knew I was too young. And then I turn, then someone reads out of here a blessing over me. But I tell you, the power of a blessing. But I pray over Tash's little bub Zion. I can't see Tash right now. If I could, I'd be pointing in her direction. But I'd say, Zion, you are blessed. You are welcome. We cannot wait to have you come into this world. We're expecting that you're going to grow into a mighty man of God. What an exciting thing to have a child. Do that during pregnancy. The third stage is birth. Both parents can express the message of welcome. We are glad to have you here. We love you and bless you. You are a gift from God. Regardless of your gender, you might have been expecting a boy. You got a girl. What a terrible thing to say, oh, no. Oh, my goodness. I had these rugby matches lined up. Now it's netball. No, or whatever. I mean, girls play rugby, obviously, and guys probably play netball. I don't know, but I'm just saying. You don't want to send that message to your beautiful newborn baby. What are they going to think? Am I what you expected? Am I what you wanted? Am I okay in your eyes? You want to send the loudest message. I love what God has given me. You are exactly what I wanted. Praise God for you. And you start to speak this at the birth. Hold the baby up. Thank God for the baby. Start to praise God for that little wonderful child. That child, right at that point, you're speaking identity and purpose into their lives. If you're speaking like that, God's backing it up. There's weight and power that comes upon that child. Don't think of it as just a God bless you in church. This is like Esau crying bitterly when Jacob stole his blessing because his father had blessed him. As a father, you hold him up to God and say, God, let this boy or girl fulfill the purposes on their life. I pray your protection, God. Help me raise the child. You realize you're in God's hands. No one ever gave you a license for raising children. Maybe they should, but anyway, we usually give birth and then try and figure it out afterwards, you know. The fourth area is early childhood. Both parents can continue to convey their love and acceptance of the child and appreciation of the uniqueness of their child, and that they have a destiny and purpose given by God. Is there anyone I can trust to meet my needs, says this little child. They'll try all your boundaries, but will you still say, I love you more than the whole wide world? In this little book here, How to Really Love Your Child, this is a terrific little book. It talks about three major principles in raising your children: the necessity of physical touch, the necessity of eye-to-eye contact, and the necessity of focused attention. In our family, our kids, we always held them. We touched a lot. We wrestled a lot. Our family is good at wrestling. And as the kids got bigger, they still wanted to wrestle. But you know what? When they were getting bigger, they were beating me. And that was a problem. I think that's when the wrestling started to finish. We used to hug the all appropriately. You know, there was just a good amount of physical touch. Eye-to-eye contact. The Bible says the eyes are the window to the soul. Grandparents, don't think you're left out of this. Hug your grandchild. Hold them. Bless them. Speak to them. Look them in the eye. Look into the window of their soul and tell them how much they mean to you and how much they're valued. Bless them to the core of their soul. Let them be left in no doubt that they have grandparents who love them and are happy with them and that will pray for them and build them up in the things of God and speak the word of the Lord into their soul. Tell them about the Holy Ghost. Tell them about their Lord Jesus. Prepare them for the day when they give their soul to Jesus. Make Jesus, let them look at you and think that's what Jesus is like, not one of these cranky old grumps that walks around like they've just eaten some bush lemon through the skin and the seeds. I don't want to go around to grandma or grandpa's place. Make it such an exciting time. The third area there, focused attention. We often give so much attention to other people in the ministry or business and forget about our family. And we need to give that focused attention. I give a lot of focused attention to my dog. And he just looks at me like I'm some kind of God. Read the book with them. I used to read books to my boys every night. At the age of 15, Kyle started to say, Dad, do you think I'm getting older for this? You know, I used to read him Louis L'Amour's. Get into Louis, see if you can find any. I've gone through all the bookshops and bought them all out. You won't find any. If I go into a secondhand bookshop, bless you, my brother Gary, that was just a wonderful funeral celebration for your darling. That was an absolute special time. I was just so blessed to hear your family speak about your beautiful darling. And you held it right together, right to the very end. And I reflected on that and I thought, you know why? Because he was remembering the wonderful times, those wonderful fun times. Like it was like I was, oh, gee, I wish I'd been there for that. That sounded like a lot of fun. Johanna is with the Lord right now. She is, and you know it, and Conrad and the children know it. But who knows, it's a bit of a tough one for us on this end sometimes because that door's shut now. But you'll see her again. Folks, you need to know that Gary needs your support in this time. You might not know what to say, and I rarely know what to say. What do you say? But it doesn't matter. Just go. Just be there. Just stand. Sometimes you don't say anything. Just empathize. Acknowledge that a beautiful person, a loved one, of married some 38 years, was it? 40, 70, 37. 37 years together. 45? You knew her for 45. You're confusing me completely, mate. Doesn't matter.
You're an awesome husband to have given such a eulogy the other day. So, folks, we need to give focused attention, read the books, spend the time. Do all three together and you have a very powerful triad there. You look at them, physical touch, eye-to-eye contact and focused attention. If you speak something at that point, you've just touched the life of that child forever. The next one, puberty. Five is puberty. This is a critical time of the life of the child. The parental blessing should convey the message that the child is being released into manhood or womanhood and their adult identity, affirming their positive character qualities, reaffirming of any prophetic words spoken over the child to child's life to date. The Jewish people, the Israelites, did this well. They called them a bar or bat mitzvah at the age of 13. We took our kids out at the age of 13, brought the whole family around, went to a great restaurant, asked them, you know, grandparents on both sides, just Christian or non-Christian, come bring a word to them. Speak some word of life into them. It wasn't religious. We're not Jewish. But we did speak a progression into manhood and womanhood. I don't believe that necessarily starts at 18. If you think it starts at 18, you'll have teenagers all the way through to 18. But if you started at the age of 13, they'll take great responsibility on themselves. You'll have adults at the age of 13 instead of 18. You'll have men at the age of 13 and not boys. So we used to do that. And then at the age of 18, I took my boys out to Outback Jack's. It was just the guys. And we had the coming of age time. They had to eat 1 kilo of steak in 30 minutes with all of the associated trimmings. And both failed. So, in some ways, they're not really men. No, they are really. But I invited all of my male friends that I really respect. They came and gave an appropriate gift and a word of advice, something special on their life. And I invited them to no longer see Kyle or David as my sons, but now to see him as a man. And many a time they've contacted those men and seen them and related to them as men, not just as my friends. Just little things that we've done along the way. What are they saying at teenage? Do I have what it takes to be a man or a woman? Do I have, in your mind, my father or my mother, do you think I can make it as a man or woman? That's the question they're asking in their spirit. That's the question you've got to answer. You know what? You are a powerful man of God. You're a mighty man. You start to respect your children instead of treating them like kids. You start to speak life into them. You are a powerful man of God. Do you know how powerful it is when a father speaks to his son and says, you are a mighty man of God? Rule still applies. Grab them by the shoulder, look in their eyes and say, you are powerful. What you just did then, be specific in your compliments. What you just did then by, treating your mother in that way, took her out for a cup of coffee and paid for it yourself, that is incredible. That speaks wonders over your life. Be specific about your blessing. Don't just say, you're a great guy. Be specific. They'll speak into their spirit and they're saying, they're learning from you every word you speak to be a great man or a woman of God. Next one, six, marriage. At the wedding ceremony, both sets of parents come into agreement and bless the marriage, receiving the new son or daughter-in-law as part of the family and willingly releasing their son or daughter spiritually and emotionally to be joined to the husband and wife to become a new family unit. This is the questions that they're asking. Am I really lovable? Do I really have what it takes to be someone's wife or someone's husband? Will anyone love me and stick with me in a covenant for a long time, long term? And so the scripture says that a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is what a blessing looks like, parents, for your child at this stage and for your son or daughter-in-law. Both sets of parents being in agreement about the choice of the partner and the timing of the marriage. That's important. Both sets of parents attending the wedding. Each set of parents joyfully receiving the new son or daughter as part of their family. Both sets of parents willingly releasing their son or daughter spiritually and emotionally to be joined to a wife or husband to become a new family unit without your control. It's a big thing. Some parents have difficulty letting go. The cursing's quite the opposite. If you want to curse your child, look at it like this. You're too young to get married. This marriage won't last 6 months. You're marrying the wrong person. What do you think you're doing when you start to say like that? What do you think they're going to do? They're going to try and prove you wrong.
But in them trying to prove you're wrong, they're never actually leaving you. They're spending their entire life trying to prove you wrong and not being comfortably and beautifully released so they can just get on with being their family. The Bible says, Craig Hill actually has a great saying here, I have discovered in ministering to thousands of married couples that much marital conflict is rooted in an inability to properly cleave, which means to be joined, to a spouse because the individual's heart never spiritually and emotionally left his or her parents. When one doesn't leave, it's impossible to cleave. Is that right? That's from the Ancient Paths course, that quote. I'm sure that's where I got it from. Sure, I was sitting there and I thought, I've got to write that one down and pretend it's mine. God designed men to be secure in their masculine identity through their parents' blessing, to lead, protect, and fight for their wives. God designed the woman to trust her husband to protect and fight for her. So she doesn't have to come out fighting for that which God has already provided someone to do that for her. I want to apologize to people I offended a couple of weeks ago by talking about authority, the father's authority. In my mind, it's a very powerful and wonderful thing. But I realized afterwards when someone came and said, all I saw was fear and control and all this. I didn't take into account that some people come from very different backgrounds to mine, where that has been their situation. Can I say, I'm sorry that I didn't give that more explanation, that when I talk about the authority of a father passing on the authority of a young lady to her husband, it's a very wonderful thing. It's God's protection and blessing. There's no control over that. Quite the opposite. That covering and authority allows a woman to be what God's called her to be without having to fight all the time for this. It's different to what, in my mind, to how I said it. But if you took it that way, please understand it's a blessing. There's no control here at all. So there is one other area of blessing that I haven't mentioned. That is in our old age. How can the adult children bless their parents? It's a converse now. Because there is a thought in the hearts of an older person that is, am I still needed and is my life still significant? And this is where adult children can minister to their parents and acknowledging their involvement, their blessing in their lives, thankfulness, the resources, time and energy, recognizing the continuing importance of their counsel and wisdom. I've heard some churches have said to the older people, you've had your go, step aside and let the young guys have a go, which I cannot even believe could be uttered. Older people, you need to know, I want you here and I want you to know that you are so welcome and I desire with great expectation the advice and the counsel and wisdom that God has placed upon your life. I need it. We need it. When it's time for you to step into glory, we have no more access to what God has placed upon your life. I need to hear what you say. I started a group some time ago called the Ancient of Days. And that wasn't referring to me. It was referring to the guys I invited to come to my table. And they all had to be over 70 to be there. And I said, I need your advice. Talk to me. I need you here. So just in conclusion, there we go. There's the 7 points, places that you can bless your child. We're well over time. And I'm just going to wrap it up right now. You can go and get those books at the back of the table. You can sign them for Ancient Paths. You can start your family nights if you want to. There's no pressure on that at all. And you can make all those resources available to you up there. Worship team's coming. We just thank you, Lord, for all of these precious ones. Matt, could you just come and lay hands, Logan, just on some of these cloths and things. Folks in every service, if you want to come bring these things, Pastor Bill, Cheryl, could you just come and pray for these things here? I just want everyone just to be prayed for. We're praying for miracles and signs and wonders. Holy Spirit. We thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Jay, you just come and pray for that one, darling. Thank you for that. Father, we thank you for that. Now, there may be some here today.